Let us pray. Holy One, holy joy, we come before you electric with excitement and anticipation. Speak your word to us this day and show us the sign of your coming. Fill us with joy so completely that there is no room for fear or despair. We offer this prayer in the name of the joy for the world, Jesus Christ. Amen. So joy, that's what brings us together today. It's an emotion, but it's one that we don't really spend a whole lot of time talking about. It's not that we're afraid of joy, just the opposite. We love joy. We love feeling joy-filled. We love bringing joy. We don't talk about what joy means very often because it's so simple. And today, on the third Sunday in Advent, we come together to talk about joy and the joy that this season brings. On the first Sunday, we talked about hope. We talked about what the future can bring and how sometimes that hope might seem beyond what we can do. It offers us something to reach for. On the second Sunday, we talked about peace. But this peace isn't just a world without war. It's one where all people are safe, where people are secure and cared for by their neighbors. These things can bring us joy. The thought of what might be, the possibility of something that we can accomplish together. But often joy has more to do with what we're doing right now in this moment. I can get excited for the future, but true joy is felt in what you're doing right now, in this moment, or that moment. Truth is that joy isn't just a feeling. It's more than that. It's a tangible thing that fills us, causes us to burst and squeal. When we are joyful, we laugh heartily. We sing loudly, and we cannot help but smile. But the truth is, joy can be a fleeting thing. Here, this moment, gone, the next. That's joy. So when we are joyful, when we are filled to the brim with joy, we have to take advantage of that moment and live fully into it. But like I said, we love joy, and we want to have that feeling as often as possible. So how can we create or recreate those situations where joy overwhelms us? How do we get that feeling back? It's not that we want to get lost in joy. But just as we know that there are moments where we can be completely happy, we know that there are also moments where we can be completely sad, alone, afraid. We want the blueprint for creating joy for those moments when we seem surrounded by darkness. The irony is that joy, just like hope, is often born out of a place of despair. It's born out of places of fear and darkness. That's where joy leaps from. Now, with all this talk about joy, we talked a little bit about it with the kids. I have to ask a question. How many people here have seen the movie Inside Out? Be honest, if you haven't, it's great. I mentioned earlier, go see the play Little Women. Do that while it's still in the playhouse, but see Inside Out. Natalie and I, for a long time, were saying, we have to see this movie, and we'll let the kids watch it too. Because it looks hilarious, right? And it's very interesting, the concept that they're pushing in that movie. For those who haven't seen it, I won't ruin everything for you, but I'll give you a little bit of an overview. It's a story about the emotions of a young girl named Riley. Sadness, anger, fear, disgust, and of course joy are all personified characters running around in Riley's head, helping her feel and helping her react to different situations. The movie's great, and adults should see it too, because you can learn a lot about yourself. But I do want to tell you about one observation that I had, and I'm sure others did when they saw it. For most of the time, joy, the emotion joy, seemed to be running the show in Riley's head. The other emotions helped, but joy was kind of like the leader or the manager, right? That's great. But at different times in the movie, we got to see the inside of other characters' heads. We got to see the other characters running around in their heads. I'm thinking about the mom and dad in particular. Both the mom and the dad had the same five emotions: joy, sadness, anger, fear, disgust. But joy didn't seem to be the lead in their heads. In the dad, anger seemed to be the dominant emotion, while in the mom, sadness was. That's depressing. It's not true. It can't be true. Now, aside from the glaring commentary that Disney seems to have about moms and dads, it did get me thinking about something. In our lives, in our day-to-day, if we take the time to look within, we can actually see what emotions are driving us. We might want our actions and our reactions to be joy-filled responses to the world around us, but often we are driven by fear of the world, moving forward, reacting with deep sadness within us. And what if we had that ability? That power to see the driving emotions of others? We'd likely understand each other a little bit better. Maybe it would even make us more empathetic towards one another. Thinking about this power, this ability, I wish that I could use it sometimes on our biblical characters. When one of God's beloved children does something, is it out of a deep joy or a deep fear? What about today's gospel reading? The epistle was great. Paul's reading was great. Rejoice! Again, I say rejoice. That was great. But what about the gospel reading? This is supposed to be Joy Sunday, and yet we're reading about John the Baptist yelling at people. Who's got the wheel in his head? Before we get to him calling people a brood of vipers, what is John doing? Does anybody know what John is doing? It's in his name. Baptizing. He's baptizing people in the River Jordan. He's offering people an opportunity to rid themselves of the burden of guilt. He's offering people a chance forget those things that they've done or undone. Not forget them, but at least seek reconciliation for them. He's preparing people for something great, for the coming of the Messiah. When he started, it must have been a joy-driven thing, because all he wanted to do was share the joy of that good news and get people ready for what was to come. Now back to today's reading. He's calling people names. He's talking about how people are going to be cut down like trees and thrown into fire. Not the joy-filled message that we were looking for. But why is he doing this? Why in the midst of the joy that brought him to where he was, is he allowing not just anger, but disgust to drive him? Because you can definitely hear it in his voice. I think John was special in a way that we only hope to be. He could see what brought people to him. For those he baptized, He could see the joy that people had seeking the good news. He could see the sadness that people felt for having lost their way in God's call to love each other. In those people, he is overjoyed because they came seeking reconciliation, seeking the love and the grace that's offered freely. But in the same way, he saw people coming to him out of fear, seeking a baptism of forgiveness, not that they might find reconciliation with their neighbor and their God, but because they saw it as a get-out-of-jail-free card. And so John was angry. And John was disgusted. Because even then, baptism was about acknowledging something that's already at work within us. People that came genuinely seeking God's grace and love had it. They had it before they even reached the shores of the Jordan. Their lives had already been changed. They'd already been touched by the hand of the divine. They just went out to celebrate it. They chose the baptism. Those who were simply coming to wash their metaphysical clothes weren't looking to change the course of their lives. They were hedging their bets just in case the Messiah was coming. But even though anger and disgust drove his reaction at their arrival at the Jordan, John did not send them away. He didn't say, "Tough." His message of forgiveness was too important. And so after his tirade, after he let them know just what he thought about them, when they asked him, "What should we do to prepare? What should we do?" John didn't say, pointing at the river, "Jump in," because he knew that that wouldn't do anything. He asked the people to look within themselves, to look at their lives and the way that they treated one another. "If you have, share with those who don't have. Don't collect more than what's owed. Be happy with what you have, and don't threaten others to take away what they have." He knew that no amount of water could make a person open their heart to God's love. Now, in a very roundabout way, that is the joy-filled message that we're called to hear today. That's the joy-filled message, okay? That nothing, that no one stands between us and the love and grace of God, except us. And so, as we come to the river today, let us think about what brought us here. Let us live into the joy of the presence of God. Let us allow the joy within us to drive us to acts of compassion and love as we seek the divine. Let us welcome the Christ child into our hearts. The Christ child, the joy of the world. Amen.